Action Park Media.
Welcome to Victory the Podcast. I'm Doug Ellen.
Kevin Dillon.
Season 4, Episode 12.
That's Colin.
The Cans. Is it the Cans kid or the Cons kids?
Not even an attempt.
Season finale.
I heard a couple of Medellins in this episode that definitely were fighting to say it properly.
Medellin. But this is the finale of season 12.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me, episode 12. This finale of season 4.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had done 12? 12 seasons would have been great.
Oh, my God. Why wouldn't they let us do that? It's an outrage.
Yeah.
People think we got canceled. They're like, why did you get canceled? We didn't really get canceled.
We kind of did.
Well, it just got expensive. But this...
expensive. They wanted to spend their money on Idol.
This particular episode is massive. Right?
Oh, my
God. Kev, we talked about it. Like, I don't see how...
It feels as big as the movie.
It's got to be our most expensive episode. But, all right, Doug, what do we want to talk about first?
I don't know.
Maybe our best as well.
I was asked to read this. I don't know what it is, but I was
Kevin
just...
Kevin doesn't have his readers.
I was sent in by the boss, so...
Oh, no.
I think it's fair to say that I have both personally and professionally seen a lot of bad movies in my lifetime. Therefore, when I say there's the distinct possibility that Buddy Games Spring Awakening might be the single worst film that I've ever seen, wrestling the dubious title away from Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, I want to assure you that I'm not merely indulging in a bit of hyperbole for comedic effect. In fact, the only thing holding me back from officially naming it the worst film ever is that it's so slapdash in its construction and inept in its execution that I am not entirely sure it should count as a film.
Animals.
Wow.
Animals.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
It hurts, dude. You cut me deep, bro.
Does it hurt?
No, that doesn't hurt. Who was that? That was Ebert?
Ebert's been gone for a long time, but he still has a website that keeps running. And I don't know if that hack Richard Roper is still
there's
in there.
There's some good ones. I read that last night.
Yeah.
That's why I told you. I came in here. I told you, oh, man, there's some bad ones out there.
It's good that you can laugh about it.
No, I totally laughed at it. I think the movie's great. And by the way, a lot of the reviews are positive.
But by the way,
it's not the kind of movie that's going to get great
reviews. It's not
going to
get good.
But also, there is a whole thing now in the world of people looking at Rotten Tomatoes, and the audience score and the critic score is nowhere near at all anymore.
Because
the
critics are bad critics.
Well, there's, I mean, especially when you're talking about a movie which is like dudes with girls, even if it's great, they're
kind of, you know, have fun with the whole woke thing a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to backfire a little
Kev,
bit.
Kev, I was not as cheery about my Gotti reviews, okay? We could read one of those at the top of the next episode, but it hurts.
It's different, though, because Gotti, I guess, is a little bit more of a serious movie.
This or it should have been, right.
You know?
Right.
But it's mixed reviews. There's some good ones out there. A lot of people talk about the chemistry between the guys.
Reviews were also a lot more meaningful, even 10 years ago. They don't really mean anything today. And the movie, which, you know, 10 years ago, you couldn't even do what you're doing, is released. You guys can watch it automatically. I already bought it. I didn't watch it yet, but I will.
Thanks, Doug. I appreciate it.
And I also, I mean, I feel bad saying this, but I got a link. So I
what
a free link
well,
from who? You know,
well, I helped promote.
I did nothing.
Too,
God forbid you spring a couple bucks for your buddy.
So I'm going to do that when it drops down to the lower premium. But I did get a link.
I mean,
so
but
I
you should give me.
Yeah,
half
when God
I can
out.
Send you the link.
Send me $9 for the $18 I spent. I mean, that's
I
all.
Know, man, I don't know. I'm happy to do that. Yeah, I'll give you.
I mean,
absolutely.
I was as involved in the promotion of Buddy Games.
Just
as
give
anyone.
Me a couple bucks and we'll call it a
couple bucks.
But anyway, it's doing well. I see it climbing up the charts.
Oh, is there a way I didn't? No,
Kev, you're gonna see a little chunk of change from this.
I'll tell you
what.
You
got real meaningful goals.
I love it. I think it's great. It's funny.
You know what?
It's fun.
I think part of what we do is you had a great time making it, and you love these guys,
yeah.
And that's you know, a big part of it. But I know the people that I've spoken to that saw the first one liked it, and you say this one's better. So everyone, check it out. Support
it out.
It's a genre movie. What was it? Roger Ebert going to give it 4 stars? I mean, he's
not
giving
not.
Anybody.
First
website.
Of all, I love looking back at some of the great critics when they've trashed.
Dude, that's
classic.
It's a Johnny Drama movie. I mean, he didn't. I was constantly talking about all the bad reviews I got.
Yep.
It's amazing how well you handle it because it's actually not directed at you.
I laughed as I read them last night. And then I was really pleasantly surprised. So right at the top are all the bad ones. Then you go a little bit lower and you see, hey, there's a bunch of
But have you ever looked, have you ever seen those things where they look back at critics' reviews of like classic movies? And some of the big critics were like Pauline Kael, Roger Ebert, whatever. And they've had terrible reviews. I don't remember if it was Raging Bull or something, but movies that ultimately became classics. So in 20 years, Buddy Games might be up there with Raging Bull.
I mean, well, but you never know. I mean, they didn't love Scarface. They didn't love Scarface. There's a lot of movies that were sort of panned that came around.
By the way,
Entourage didn't really get the best reviews.
No, we got terrible reviews on the movie. The show was very well received when it was at the beginning.
It almost makes me know that, all right, if it gets bad reviews, it might be good. It might be something I want to see.
I think, and I've said this before, but the critics now they're different than they were 15 years ago. They just were. They're very
They always sucked. Let's call it.
I don't like critics, but...
But it's funny because that will bring us into not critics, but you know, response to a film with Cannes Kids, the episode. So
what an episode!
What an episode!
I forgot how great it was.
Right, me too.
And how tired we were the whole time. We were jet lagged. Me and you partied our asses off on that flight.
Yes, we did. And then the other thing I noticed too, Doug, is that episode
we did a lot of drinking on the plane.
That episode was 35 minutes long. Because it's a season finale, was HBO good at like giving you a little extra leeway?
Yeah, they never gave us a hard time at all.
Yeah, it felt longer.
I actually didn't even realize it was long until you just said that. But no, we told them and they were always good with it, which I don't know how they worked that because obviously they have a show that came on after it. And I don't remember season four, what show came on after us, but they were great. They were, you know, until the regime changed at HBO, they were great. They really let us do what we wanted to do and pulling off episodes like this it was amazing. So, I mean, you know, we'll get into things, but
we did a bunch of questions.
Yeah, we have questions too. So I'll sprinkle.
Well, no, but
in,
unfortunately, we'll give credit to whoever asked this question, but here's my question. And Dylan, I don't know if you remember this, but the actual can part of it, which is why there was that thing with the hotel rooms, the actual can part of it didn't come through till the very end. What would have been the game plan? Because remember, we're ending the season. What would have been the game plan if Cannes didn't come through and we weren't able to go?
Yeah. That came. Yeah. We probably would have shot here for Cannes.
Is that what we would have done? We just had to downsize it?
So a guy named Weave on Instagram actually asked pretty much that question. And, you know, one of the things is, and I've said this from the beginning of the show, I would write things and we had the greatest group of people that always came through. They literally always came through. So whether it was Janice when I wrote James Cameron into the script or when I wrote Sundance when I really didn't know, or we wrote Sundance when I really didn't know that we could ever even leave town. And, you know, whoever it was at the time, our producers, Dennis Biggs, Wayne Carmona, they just always made it happen.
Right.
And there really was never a, this is not possible. What are you doing? Like the things that came back is not possible.
But that could have been not possible just due to the fact that it wasn't a money thing.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of flights and hotel rooms and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, or you could, there's just, at a certain point, you can only throw so much money at a situation.
I mean, the reality is the only thing we needed to be at Cannes for, which, I mean, listen, needed. The only thing that has to be shot there is in front of the theater when you guys are walking
on top of the giant red carpet. Well, although you could see Cannes in a lot of the shots.
It's amazing. I agree.
Like Kevin walking, the scene where Kevin is walking, looking for the girl.
Yeah.
We really, really, everybody really made the most out of it.
I'm not telling you that it's not 1,000 times better that we're there.
Right. Yeah.
But we would have done it. And even some of the stuff we were discussing behind the scenes, was that France or was that in LA? That's how good it looks. But
beach scene. I know we couldn't get part of the beach scene. So that was
when you guys are having your
when we were kissing and making out all that. That was at Cannes.
When you were having
but
your
it was
grease
just
moment.
The two of us. That
we had to come back and get that in LA because
shot it in Malibu.
It got dark and you missed the light, so you had to shoot the part.
Exactly. We tried to shoot it, and it was like it's too dark. Too dark, can't do it.
Right, so you had to go back and shoot that
shot
part
in Malibu. Yeah,
I'm of course a disorganized mess, so I don't know who asked the question because we're gonna answer all these questions, and we might just say I'm sorry without mentioning your name because we're talking about it. But because people were asking like how much was this, and we were just talking about this before, like Succession. Mark Mylod, who was our director on this, who honestly is probably the best TV director in the business now.
No doubt.
And you can see in Succession, which does a lot of stuff that we were doing, they go on location and they shoot stuff. And Mark is just amazing at it. But their budget, from what I heard, was $90 million for the last season.
But remember, it's an hour show.
It's an hour show. Yeah. It's 15 years later, whatever. But ours was nowhere near that. Right. I mean, not even close.
What was ours?
I mean, we were doing,
we were the biggest at the time.
I don't want to say money was no object, but like that was never our issue.
No.
Like, no. Hey guys, we just don't have the budget to shoot in Cannes. It was, can we get rooms? Can
no, but still, we're talking about like $5 million an episode as opposed to, you know, Game of Thrones, which was like 30. You know what I mean?
Right. So, well, Game of Thrones, I would think.
No, but I'm just saying, we didn't have a high budget for a half hour. We didn't have a low budget. We just, you know, at the beginning, we had a low budget. But for this episode, they gave us everything we need. And then what we would try to do, and really, again, I don't want to say me, because I didn't have anything to do with it, except for if they told me to cut something, I'd have to cut it. But honestly, I can't remember more than one or two times that things didn't happen. Like Dodger Stadium, we could not get Dodger Stadium because they didn't want a smoking pot there. And we ended up getting U2, and it turned out to a better episode. So it always worked out. But our producers were unbelievable at just getting things done within the budget. So we were never over budget, and it was never getting calls from HBO going, guys, you're getting too out of control. And they just let us do what we do. So it was pretty great. But Ken, I was just asking that now. Two things. We were not popular in France, especially at
the
time.
No, they didn't know us at all.
Right.
No.
So the idea that Cannes Film Festival let us do that is so bizarre to me.
Yeah, that's called HBO juice, bro. That's Dennis Biggs, people connected and big places making phone calls.
I mean, it really, they made something happen. And, you know, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are in this episode.
That's what I say. We got it. There's an easy answer. I know you don't know it, but do they have to just sign off on it? You got to get them cleared.
There is no way they signed paperwork.
Does it count as a cameo? Is that a cameo?
Does it count as a cameo? I'm just thinking, Doug, if you're on the red carpet and people are shooting, you probably would just need them to sign off on it, even if it was a verbal or an email, whoever's agent.
So just so the audience knows, we ran out in the middle of the premiere for Ocean's 13.
Is that what it was? Ocean's 13, yeah.
Ocean's 13.
So Clooney.
So they walked into the building, and then we ran out there like it was our stage right there.
Right.
So nobody knew who the hell we were. We put some fake fans in there, you know, big Vince fans.
You know what they were doing beforehand? They were handing out headshots of Vince.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't
like
know
to
that.
Get the people going so people would know who they were. But listen, if you're going to look your best on the red carpet at Cannes, I got to imagine it's not like we caught Angelina Jolie at Whole Foods. Like everybody's all dialed
up. I know,
up
but it doesn't.
It
doesn't mean she wants to be on Entourage. But I really have no answer to that question. Would be shocked if someone walked up to Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt on the red carpet and said, "Hey, you mind signing off that you're in an episode of Entourage?" But
you know, we've talked about it when we pulled up in the car, and it was the closest thing to live. Like I said, I've said it before.
Yeah,
it was my foot was literally tapping. I was shaking with nerves.
We had one shot.
And Kevin had what'd you have to do, bro? You had to run across.
I had to run across and jump over a barrier and.
Grabbed
her. I've had a bunch of dialogue.
That's Julia Levy Boken, by the way.
Right? Yeah, Julia.
We should have brought her in.
She was great in the episode.
Jacqueline.
We could bring her in still. We could do a follow-up.
Is she in town?
I speak to her on Instagram. I don't know where she is.
Yeah, she'd be great to have her.
Yeah,
come
she's
in.
Cool. And she was great in this episode. You know, I kind of forgot.
She's really good. You know, she's a big-time actress.
Very serious actress.
Yeah, she's Israeli. So,
when
Josh,
you look at it, well, I'm sorry, Doug. I was about to say the last thing. Like, when you look at us after we got through the dialogue and then we're on the carpet, you could just see the relief wash over all of our faces that we got through the dialogue, because one thing I always said was we were there in the morning rehearsing and there was nobody there. But when we got out of that car and we all hit our marks, it was so loud that it was hard to hear other people's lines. I was like, oh my God.
Honestly, it was intense. We were all nervous going into the shot.
Very
we had one
intense.
Chance.
Once we knew we got the dialogue, we were like, all right, we're golden. Let's just go stand on the red carpet.
So let me ask you this, which is a question from Josh Cohn, which, and let me just phrase it as this, which was harder, Sundance or Cannes episode to film? And when I think about, obviously, the Sundance shot of you guys walking down the street, which was a 5-6-page scene where Jeremy has to hit you with a snowball at the end of it, or this?
It's not even close.
No.
Sundance was 10 times harder.
Sundance?
What?
I
disagree.
Kev, come on.
We had one shot at this.
Yeah,
we had one shot.
I'm,
we did... Kev, 12,
you and I,
15 takes
fight,
of that.
Fight.
Kev, you and I froze to you and me and Jerry and Adrian froze to death in a lifeguard shack at the top of that mountain. It was 0 degrees out.
Yeah.
We were hungover. I'm talking about
how difficult the shot was.
Right,
that winner.
I'm saying we did a bunch of winners in this episode.
Yeah.
And we
were all, you know, jet lagged.
All right, well, separate the two out. Obviously, the Cannes shot walking into this theater or that Sundance thing. And then the whole episode.
The Cannes, because it was one take.
Right? Yeah.
Right, you're
and
saying
the other
that
one
was the hardest.
We had 15 tries at the other one.
It was just so hard. It was so cold on top of that mountain, bro. It was so cold on the mountain.
That last day.
Yeah, it was like the last day, and what is it?
We didn't even ski down. They're like, do you want to ski down? You're like, no.
They didn't put me in the gondola. They didn't want us to ski down. It was so cold. There was a lot, and it was also, Sundance was also earlier on. I think we were all a little bit more comfortable by the end of season four. Sundance was, I don't know. I think there was the degree of difficulty.
You mean Cannes?
The degree of difficulty in Cannes from a production standpoint was trickier, but I thought physically Sundance was harder. Then, Kev, remember we had to reshoot the Sundance scene where we come off the plane and we had to reshoot that in the summer and we shot it at LAX and we had to put on our winter coats. It was about 114 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm just like the polar opposite on the tarmac.
You know what I noticed, Colin? You're very big with the weather, with the dolphins and the heat and everything.
Well, it dictates how comfortable I am.
I talk about skiing on ice, and you're like, who likes to ski on ice? Men who like speed.
That's fucking funny. Well, I mean, this scene to me, and as you guys remember, I decided to take a much needed, which I don't even know if
you
we knew
there.
Mental health. I could not make it. I was dying that season, and I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
And I remember you guys going, how could you not come to this?
I'm like, I can't fly there
for 48 hours. I think I'll die. That's the thing. Everyone's asking. I got all these questions on the page about the fun that you guys had. There's no fun. I mean, you guys were back and forth in 48 hours.
Right. We squeezed a lot of work and a lot of fun into that one episode.
Yeah.
I mean, besides your partying on the plane, which I wanted to get back to. Like, what does that mean, Dylan? You're partying on the plane.
Yeah, we were sitting in first class and we drank quite a few glasses of red wine.
Dylan and I were the only two people on that entire aircraft that were awake, including the pilots. I mean, that's how far into the darkness we were.
It was bad what I was doing too. Do you remember?
You were smoking cigarettes in the bathroom.
I said, Kevin, you're going to get us locked cigarettes.
Up. Kevin.
And I figured out a way to, if you throw the blanket over your head and you flush the toilet a lot.
Oh, my God.
Kevin and I were in the first row. So I could hear him in the bathroom. And all you hear is
over and over.
What a fucking idiot.
And then Kevin
sucks all the smoke. By the way, and then Kevin walks out with a cloud of smoke behind him and sits down next to me. I was like, bro. He's like, what?
Like, what?
Were you smoking cigarettes? Like, no, I wasn't.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What am I wearing?
Don't lie to me. Lie to girls,
and
Dylan.
And then the other thing, Kev, too, which I know you remember, because I know you regretted that immediately. Do they even still do that, where they go up and down the aisles selling things, cameras and whatnot?
I bought a camera.
You bought a camera, like with a lens and a carrying case.
It was a super high pixelated camera.
Kevin spent like $2,500.
Was it a hot flight attendant?
He's exaggerating. It wasn't that expensive.
Kev, it was expensive to the point where you were like when we were getting ready to land, you were like, hey, can I return this? They were like, well, you were already shooting video on it, so no, you can't.
By the way, do you have any pictures from that week or anything? What'd you do with this fucking camera?
I don't know. Where's that SIM card?
This was definitely a hot flight attendant. Why else would you have lost that camera
with all the photos in there.
The best thing is, Dylan and I were so bombed. I was like, yes, that's a sick idea. I was with you, Kev. I can't blame it all on you.
I
was like,
you owe me $2,500.
I'm like, that sounds like a good deal. Duty free?
Yeah.
Duty free?
10 megapixels? It was like 10. I'm just thinking how bizarre this is.
I don't remember ever being on a plane where someone offered me to buy a high-end camera and they carry it over to you?
Back in the day, duty free, you could buy this stuff right on the plane.
I know, but how many cameras do they have on the plane?
Kevin bought a camera, an extra battery, a bunch of tapes, and a case. That's why it all added up.
And you got no footage at all.
No, but in the morning, and then when we eventually passed out and Kevin and I woke up sober, we looked at each other like, all right,
Who bought the camera?
I guess we're stuck with this camera. When we talk about hydration, we have to understand that we're not just talking about hydration for people running marathons or going on big hikes, long hikes. It's about daily maintenance. Okay. I work all week, and then on the weekends, I'm running around with my baby. And sometimes, especially around a holiday weekend, it's just good to be hydrated. Proper functional hydration is essential. And Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Their hydration multiplier is the one product you're missing in your daily routine. Use it first thing in the morning before a workout, when you feel run down in the afternoon, after a night out with friends, or on long flights. With just one stick, you can hydrate real life 2 times faster than water alone. Plus, get essential vitamins and 3 times the electrolytes as leading sports drinks. Liquid IV comes in 12 delicious, refreshing flavors to keep your hydration routine exciting. I love Liquid IV because it's super easy. All right, it makes you feel great on a daily basis. It's got 12 different kinds of flavors. My favorite is passion fruit, okay? One stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster or more efficiently than water alone. Contains 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C, with 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks. Made with quality ingredients, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code VICTORY at checkout. That's 20% off anything when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code VICTORY at liquidiv.com. Liquid IV believes that equitable access to clean and abundant water is the foundation of a healthier world. To date, Liquid IV has donated over 39 million servings in 50-plus countries around the world. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating.
All right, so our vote is that Can... No, you guys are still debating this, but I know...
I think Can was that shot.
The stress of Can.
About the two... Right. We had two walk-and-talks that were really tough. One, the camera operator couldn't even handle in France.
Right.
The guy was like, no, top. Yeah.
I'll tell you, Sundance... I mean, I know I wasn't there for the 48 hours in Can, but Sundance was like a pleasure. I mean, I know that scene was hard, and you guys up in the gondola, I'm sure it was cold, but we had a fun, fun...
Oh, yeah, that was great.
...week. And, you know,
there was no jet lag. The jet lag thing made it easy.
They were just two very different things.
I mean, we basically flew in and started working the next day, and we were so tired, hungover.
By the way, that might have helped, strangely. I don't know, man. It was just impossible to get your feet on the ground by the time you started to even think about settling in. We were on our way back.
So here is a little tip from Kevin Conley to avoid jet lag. Get fucking hammered on a plane.
Trust me, it did not help.
But a couple of the locations, and again, it's like you get your exteriors in Cannes, but we shot a good portion of it that happens at that hotel.
We shot some of it in L.A. and on the yacht.
That hotel
was in Santa Monica. I remember that. Yeah. That hotel was in Santa Monica.
No.
Yep.
I don't think so.
No, that was France, like, dude. The interior was
here in LA.
Was it? Yeah. But I don't think it was Santa Monica.
Was that
I don't know.
Like that.
It was, I'm 100% positive it was in Santa
Really?
Monica. I'm just drawing a blank.
It's so funny. I was
and
watching.
Then the yacht was also
the yacht
Marina
was Marina Del Rey.
Yeah.
I see my niece in the background and my cousin.
I know. That's right.
Doreen in the background. So, I mean, it was kind of coming back to me, and I was trying to figure out because someone asked a question, which I'll give him. Shorty McFly wanted to know how much was filmed in France and how much was filmed here. And I would say most of it was still filmed in L.A.
I would say 70% L.A.
Yeah. I mean, like the inside
go
the theater.
Was 60.
58%.
Dude, that party with Harvey, the screening was at UCLA. That Harvey Weinstein party was up on Oriole.
I'm going 60, and that's final.
That's final.
I love it when you feel like Johnny Drama's all depressed because he can't find Jacqueline.
Yeah, he really
And he's
felt.
Like, oh, I'm so bummed out. And then you pan over to two girls rubbing his feet, two hot girls.
Right. Well,
he's on a yacht.
You hold up on
rubbed.
Yair. You're like, Yair, I don't have a hotel. I'm staying on the boat, basically, which happens all the time. At Can, by the way, people jump around on people's boats and you landed with a guy and you got
And Dominic wanted to know how we found Jacqueline, Julia Bogan. And I think Sheila recommended her. She's an Israeli actor and she was awesome.
She was on a show in Israel, I guess a soap opera or something like that.
But I got the vibe that she was like a trained actor.
She was good.
Right. But she seemed to have like a process.
Was she in character the whole time? Is that what you're saying?
No.
She needed like a couple moments beforehand. Like,
really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And I did all my scenes with her.
Well,
you didn't
I wasn't. I wasn't a scene with her. I wasn't a scene with her.
Dylan,
you might have been high.
Dylan, might have been what? What's
he you were high. But
you
Dylan,
might have been high. Couple bevies.
Dylan might have been trying to figure out how to work his new camera so he didn't see some of the processes.
Connelly was drinking too much Chateau.
All right, we're going to have to get Julie in here and ask her about her process.
Shooting movies.
Too much Beaujolais for you, bro.
Shooting nude movies on your new camera that you got.
It's none of your business.
And maybe you guys can answer this, which you probably can't, but I don't remember. But Ryan Back wants to know, Reese had us the line where he says you're a class A pousse. Was it written in the script with a French accent, or did Reese come up with that? And I have no recollection whatsoever of it. So
Reese is one of those guys where you don't have to give him much direction.
Yeah.
Him, you just, whatever he does with it.
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't know.
I would say that it was supposed to be that way.
Yeah. I mean, my guess
I'm guessing it was too.
Right. But Reese had a couple of humdingers in this one.
Reese is so freaking funny. Yeah,
he's great.
And he's just good. So.
The press conference was in L.A. Yair's boat was in L.A. Nikki Rubenstein's house was in L.A. A couple of the restaurants. I'm going to say 75%.
This is one of the racier episodes,
by the way.
I'm going to
go 74%, and that's final.
This was, by the way, there was a couple of lines in this one, bro.
Yeah.
So Ellen's squirming around over there. Turtle, go into the boat and give him your best blowjob. What is that what he says to Yair?
Whenever there's a line, I always like to look over at Doug and watch him squirm.
Right.
I'm just an animal. I mean, there's a
bead of sweat drips down his forehead.
It's down his face. Dylan, do you remember... And here's the other thing. God, I know it was a long time ago, but was the Mac, was that at the time of the Macarena?
It would have been a little after the Macarena.
I was going to say, I feel like that was post-Macarena.
I had to learn it on the spot there, a little Macarena.
Oh, is that true? Because someone was asking if you can still do the Macarena, but I can
still do it. Man, you know, I'm a dancing fool.
It's not the salsa, right? I mean,
I should be on Dancing with the Stars. I've been invited quite a few times.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is true.
Do it.
You'd probably be pretty, maybe not now. Maybe not now, but I would guess you could have danced.
I mean, you can't get a worse review than Buddy Games. I mean,
the worst I'm thing sure I've gotten worse. I've done worse movies. I mean, the movie's good. I'm telling you, it's good.
I believe you 100%. Yeah. I think,
Kissing the Fool didn't get all those great reviews, did it?
Look at how he.
I mean, I bought Kissing. I watched Kissing a Fool. You could at least go and watch my freaking movie.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna get Lucas to watch it. Lucas and I are gonna watch it.
That was actually a lie. I didn't watch Kiss.
I think we're.
I should have watched it. I'm going to watch it.
I do not care one bit.
I think we've done a damn good job promoting Buddy Games 2, Spring Awakenings.
Well, how do you know?
Spring Awakenings.
I just feel like I've gotten some.
Do you think we've moved tickets?
Doug wasn't there, though. He wasn't there for us.
I was in
there. Kev, did you get my screenshot that I sent you? I've gotten some screenshots from people confirming that they've downloaded or rented Buddy Games 2, Spring Awakenings.
Yes, everyone's got to watch it and let us know if you like it. Either way, I can take it.
Something else you can do for us now is on the Victory Podcast page, tell people to follow it, number one, but also add it to your favorites. Instagram now added this thing where you got to put it to your favorites or you're not going to see posts. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Also,
that's why Dylan's getting no likes on his pictures.
How do you do that?
Also, Doug is going to be releasing 5 lucky Instagram followers that have been blocked. Every episode we do, Doug is going to release 5 people from Instagram.
You're ready for more abuse from these 5 people?
Well, what happens is Connolly, who does the same thing as I do, he's got a quick trigger block.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair. It's fair to say anymore, if I'm being totally honest. Right. I don't really get into it anymore.
Really?
You want to talk about 5 years ago, but come on.
What are you talking about? A month ago, I had a guy sending me screenshots of shit you were saying.
Yeah, but not like that, bro. You go.
What do you mean like that? Let me tell you what happened, Kevin, because the guy's name is, we're going to talk about him, Luke Murphy. Okay, so Luke, you've been unblocked on the Victory page, okay? Some jerk off decided to write on the page that Lucas, my son, was we were scraping the bottom of the barrel for guests.
Having an actor that was on the show for 5 years, by the way.
A kid who grew up around it, you know, who calls these guys Uncle Kevin and Uncle Kevin. He doesn't know the difference between the two of them, but he just calls them both Uncle Kevin. But so he wrote that, and then this guy, he liked it. And I just saw it, and honestly, even though Kevin thinks I get really sensitive things, I don't. But when you talk about my kids, So I blocked this Luke Murphy guy. What does Luke Murphy do? He goes on the Apple Podcast page and he takes a personal assault attack at me. Okay, nothing to do with the podcast. Basically, Kevin and Kevin are the best. Doug is a fucking loser, and Ramble On should go nowhere. And just
so I start a little dialogue with this guy to find out where his head's at. What's the beef about? Why the review? I said first, and he agreed to take down the review. And he also said, and Doug, I know you've been. It can happen to anybody. He said, you know what, Kevin, I didn't even mean to like that post. It was an accident. I was scrolling and I clicked it, and I didn't even know it until you told me. And then I unliked it. So, you know, sometimes you scroll and you might like something. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what happened. Doug blocked him. But now we're releasing 5 people from Victory Podcast.
Luke Murphy, you're back.
Let Luke back. He's a Murphy.
By the way, he's an Irish guy. And you know, he did his end. He pulled down the review.
He might be a relative of Ease.
You can tell
Eric Murphy.
You can tell us our movies stink. Don't talk about our children, and you know, don't write Apple reviews that are negative that you don't want to write. It's just, you know, it's not going to help us if we want to get this thing going. Like I said, add favorites and follow. And you know, guys, I had a rough week last week. I mean,
I know, man. Sorry about your dog, Doug. I mean, it's hard. It's tough losing a dog.
But it's unreal because I got, you know, my boy Baron, you know, my German Shepherd. He's got cancer, so he had emergency surgery 2 weeks ago because his spleen ruptured, and he's
The day that you guys came in to do the buddy games thing. That's why
Baron
wasn't here.
Your male has got cancer, but your female passed.
No, I'll get to that. I have a picture of you and Reese with my terrier, Boris, who died.
Oh,
remember
yes,
he used to come to set,
okay,
little guy?
Yeah.
So Boris is a rescue. Doug's
okay. I forgot. I didn't realize you had three dogs.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, Boris lives with Melissa and, you know, and then the kids are in college now. But, you know, they live around the corner. And Boris is my guy. And Boris was on the set all the time. And he's 15 and you don't even think about him because he's just always there. And I've been dealing with my 8-year-old Shepherd, who's like, you know, this healthy guy, and all of a sudden he's got cancer. So he had emergency surgery, and he's like, looks better than he's looked in
a year.
What
part of the body?
They had to take out his spleen, but which is not a big deal, but then they tested the spleen, and he's got cancer. So I have to go to the oncologist on Friday and start nonsense. So anyway,
it's about quality of life.
That's how my dog got it, too.
Yeah.
Both of them.
It's horrible. And big dogs, obviously, they, you know. But anyway, so it was a rough week. And let's go easy on the personal attacks, shall we? So let's
we'll release people from Instagram jail. What I want to talk about in this episode, Doug, is let's talk about the politics of what went down with Medellin, right? Let's cover this. So we go into Cannes, and E doesn't like the movie, so we're trying to not show it to people, right?
Yeah.
But we're trying to get an offer before we show it. Correct?
Yeah, I would say Ari's trying to do that.
Right. I'm not saying me. I'm just saying Ari's trying to get an offer before anybody sees it just to cover our ass.
Yeah.
Yair Marx is starting a new company. He offers... No, Harvey had offered 25. We skipped on that. Yair then offers 35.
Yeah.
And then Ari goes to Dana Gordon, and Dana Gordon agrees to give us 35, essentially.
Yep.
Okay, and then he hears about that and does 70 million, right? So he offers 70 million. So these guys doubled their money, essentially, on what would have been a bust. Yeah. So even though Medellin, theoretically, was a bomb, I don't know, is Yair Marx on the hook for Medellin for 70 million? The deal was made, no?
Yeah, but well, he said...
Was anything signed, though?
But he also said, I'm out of Dubai, sue me, good luck. So it's not...
Yeah, you'd have to prove that he had an... verbal agreement, which a verbal agreement is binding.
That's what I'm saying. You know, there is a case to be made that if we were to continue down that street, we could have won a lawsuit.
Yeah.
It always...
But you got to be able to prove it.
You'd also, though, destroy Vince's career, that he's got this piece of trash that he threw out of the theaters.
We
got
to get 70.
This guy
we got to get
who
70.
Never saw the movie. But, he was like,
it was a bit much that nobody, like, everyone was dead silent and just mumbling after the movie.
would there have been, in real life, some kind of one sheet on some kind of short form deal for that?
Oh yeah, for sure. They would have some type of contract drawn up
something.
Before that ever happened.
Right.
The idea.
Do you know when I shot Platoon, when we did the had the premiere of Platoon at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York, the biggest theater. After it was over, it was like that. It was like that screening, dead silent. And then it erupted, and the cheers went nuts. But for a second there, I was like, oh, my God.
I thought you
they
were,
hate it.
I
they
thought you
were
saying it went bad. Because
they had to digest it.
No, yeah, they had to digest
it. I mean, Cannes is famous for
but it was a weird silence for a second, and then everyone went, oh, my God, it's great.
In Cannes, I mean, there's a lot of times that movies get booed that end up being
really,
really successful movies, too. Yeah, they boo them. They get very verbal and very nasty. And
then they do the ovations, which are weird, and somehow you count the minutes of the ovation. What is that about?
Really?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah, but...
Like, they'll break it down to, like, oh, this movie played so well that it got an 8-minute standing ovation. So the minute people step up and start clapping, they start a clock, and it's like that's sort of how you judge how long the standing ovation.
So just keep standing, then.
Right. Get all your friends to keep standing.
I can't imagine what movie would get me standing for 8 minutes clapping. That's a tough call. But, you know, look, someone was asking if this is realistic. The idea that someone's going to pay $75 million for a movie they've never seen is not realistic. But the bidding wars that go on at these festivals happen all the time. And if you have a giant movie star in, if it was a small movie, someone might be crazy enough to say, I'll cover the budget or something like that. But nobody's going to pay $75 million.
Not $70, but maybe whatever, 40 or 50. If it's Medellin, it's the Pablo Escobar story, and it's Vincent Chase, maybe somebody knows they could whack that up foreign.
I don't know that it's ever happened, but I mean, all this stuff, and somebody else asked, which I want to say, Jesse Sombrano wants to know where Billy Walsh came from, which we've talked about before. But this episode especially, he feels like Rob Weiss. He really does, like with the watches and the whole thing. And, you know, so Rob is EP on the show. And Rob, you know, we should have brought Rob in today because Rob was the big hit of the Sundance Film Festival in 91, 92, whatever it was. And he, you know, he's got some Billy Walsh elements in him for sure. And I actually asked Rob if he wanted to play that part when we started, but he didn't want to. So, which was good because we got Reese. But, you know, that's a real character. I've seen, you know, I went to AFI with a number of directors who have those kind of attitudes.
Right.
That really do. And listen, there are some guys that carry themselves that way and it still works out for them. And then there's some flash in the pans busts who never do anything. So
can we talk about Nicky Rubenstein in this?
Goldberg is so good. We got to get him too on the podcast.
Is anybody in contact with him?
I am not.
He'd be great.
Dylan thinks he's Johnny Silverman. Dylan was like, oh, I just saw Weekend at Bernie's the other day. I'm like, that's Johnny Silverman.
You know, that's
Jews all look alike.
Those two do look similar.
I see what you're talking about.
It was not an egregious call on your part at that moment.
It wasn't like you said, I just saw, you know, Hunt for Red October.
A little late night kind of.
You know, and one of the things that the director can add to an episode that might not be on the page, you know, I remember reading that script, and then when watching the episode, Nicky Rubenstein's got the ankle monitor on, and he's got the hookers got the hookers snorting cocaine off each other's chest. Your defense, none of that was in the script. But now they're creating... they're creating Nicky Rubenstein's world, right? Yeah. So, and it just, they just start adding this kind of stuff. But I remember watching the episode going like, what the fuck is going on?
But it's in the script. Those lines are in the script.
About the coke?
Well, yeah, about the coke and him yelling at the girls. And it really, you know, two things I will say. Because when you want to say, oh, a show is problematic today, this is so realistic as to the way it is with a crazy successful young director. I mean,
or a producer that's
reality is
there's a million Nicky Rubenstein.
Yes, there is. And there still is today in 2023. Yeah. And so, whatever, you know, and there are still prostitutes in the world, and that's what they were. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we had some big walk and talks in this one, Kev.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, like, the opener, when we first get there, coming off the dock, where the guy had, that was a monster.
The guy was falling over. He couldn't.
Ooh, the Steadicam operator?
And then, you know, we
got so used to our camera operators were so good with the Steadicam. In France, we couldn't find a guy who could handle a walk and talk like this. The guy was running backwards, falling over, and he was exhausted. It's a heavy camera.
And when they cut to us and we walk around the corner and you get denied from the hotel and you're like, these French fucks. That was also a big walk and talk. I mean, we did a lot of long, I mean, Mylod really opened that episode up a lot.
Yes, I did throw the French under the bus a lot. I didn't write that. That was Doug.
That was Doug.
I love the French.
Doug, but do you? No, I just remember, it's weird too, because I was watching... When it's the scene where we're walking down the beach and Ari's talking about how much he's going to try to get whoever for Nicky Rubenstein or Yair. And nobody knew who we were, bro.
No. They do now, though.
I know. Right.
They got it all. I've been to France a lot since.
But I'm saying, when we were doing those walk and talks, those extras in the background, the show was not there yet.
We were able to go anywhere we wanted, unnoticed.
And nobody had any idea who we were. We were just...
Well, not you. I mean, of course, I had...
You'd already
they recognized me from various movies.
Well, do you remember in Italy? No one knows who we are in Italy. And Dylan, we went to Italy together. Do you remember in the restaurant what happened?
No, tell me.
So we were in this restaurant, amazing restaurant, and someone tells the restaurant there's a celebrity in the restaurant. And the next thing I know, I mean, this is as humiliating as it gets. You don't remember this? The next thing they line up the entire hotel staff.
Oh, yes.
Or the restaurant with me, like in the center. And Dylan's standing off to the side. And I'm like.
Right. Okay. Somebody just went and gathered and said, all right, we got to get this picture for the wall. We don't know who the celebrity is. We don't care.
Well, no, they knew it. They thought it was me. And right. Dylan's standing
there. It was the winery.
All right. It was the winery. And I'm standing there and I'm like, do they like. Should Kevin be here? And then somebody at the last second like figures it out and they're like, you know, everybody's like, oh, get out of the picture.
You wouldn't mind.
They kicked you out of the
picture. They kicked you out and brought you into the
picture. No, he's the one.
And also, I knew there was something wrong. I didn't know what was happening.
We'll take, he's in the picture. He's as long as he's croppable.
No,
put him toward the edge.
No, they didn't even leave me croppable. They took me right out of the picture.
They said, we don't want to take chances. Would you mind stepping away? In fact, will you take this picture? In fact, will you take this picture?
That's what Connelly used to do me at the Super Bowl. Remember when I went to...
You always made sure you were not at the edge. You're like, I don't want to be on the end where they can cut
me. No, I usually say that I will go at the end so they can cut me if they don't want me in the pictures. When we do them at the podcast, I go, if you want me in, I'll get in. If you don't, you won't. But Connelly...
Do you think you've been cut out of a bunch of them?
Of course.
Well, the podcast, they dug, you know. How many times people were like, where's Doug? I need Doug in here. Because you kept...
Well, that's nice. Because I think, whatever, a little people know me more from the podcast than they did when the show was on the air. So when we're in Italy and they hear there's some TV star, and I knew they weren't talking about me, but I didn't know what was happening.
Listen, there's that one picture of me and Leo and Michael Jackson, and I'm in the middle, and it's the worst thing ever. Because I'm uncroppable.
Well, Michael Jackson had his hand on your ass. I'm sure. And you're just like, whatever, man.
It's an whatever.
It's an uncroppable. It's a once-in-a-lifetime moment. Go with it.
Just go with it, man.
It's an uncroppable
I'm
going to
ride
photo.
The little roller coaster. With Michael.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. Any chance I could see your monkey?
Hey, Mike, where's Bubbles? Mike, where's Bubbles? Where's Bubbles?
Then it took Connelly into the closet. You know, he had that little closet.
Listen, Dylan, if you think...
I can keep going with this. You'd fit great in one of my cages, Kevin.
If you think the reviews for Buddy Games 2 are bad, you should see the comments when somebody posts that picture. Who's the jerk-off in the middle? This would be a great picture if we didn't have this jerk-off in the middle. I mean, like, it makes my skin crawl every time I post because I know what's happening to me in the comments.
I love that picture.
And it makes me...
Have you guys seen that documentary?
I mean, which one? Michael?
The Michael Jackson.
Finding Neverland? Yeah. I spent the weekend
there. It was the hardest thing to
watch. Whoa, wait.
No, that's why I'm worried about Connelly.
We got to get more
bit.
Details. That's when he started. He came back smoking
no
pot.
No wonder
after
he's
that.
So mentally unstable.
That's why he gets so angry, you know, when you go near and you put your hand on his shoulder. Don't touch me.
So people are like, you went to Neverland Ranch? I said, yeah, I was 31, so it didn't really matter.
31, and I would beat Michael Jackson's ass if he came after me.
You're about 25, but you look like you're 13.
Right up his alley.
Exactly.
No, he was very nice, and I actually thought he was.
We found
super,
the rare redhead.
Felt super. Redhead. He felt super, sort of manly, and I know it sounds.
Yeah, Michael's felt super.
Jesus
manly.
Christ!
Listen, why would I make that up?
Maybe compare it to you.
I don't even know how to respond to that. So,
I got a
I know
strong
how he speaks.
Alpha.
Did he change his voice for you?
Like this?
Yeah, was he like, hey, yo, what's up, K?
Hey, what's up, K?
What are you talking about?
He was.
What drugs were you on?
Kevin Dillon's words, a man of few words.
Yeah, because he was eyeballing you, just thinking Dylan, dirty thoughts.
I saw Dylan playing golf with Griffey Jr. on the golf course. I was like, yo, Dylan, what Griffey Jr.? What's what like to play 4 hours with Griffey Jr.? And Dylan goes, well, let's just say he's a man of very few words.
He's great, though, man. I
great
love
great golfer,
him.
Right? He's just not making small talk. He's playing
golf.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
But
he's
wait,
serious. Man.
I just need to go
golfer.
Back. He's a manlier man than Michael Jackson. I mean, what are we
doubt,
talking
man.
About here? Yeah. Did Connelly, Kevin Griffey Jr., did we?
Well,
did,
yeah, I would think.
Did Connelly say that? What did you say?
He said he was manly.
I said,
Jackson,
I said
again,
manly.
I'm not even judging him, but
said,
nobody's ever called him manly.
He's never been accused of that. I felt that he was more masculine and more,
well, he wanted to dominate
alpha.
You. He was trying to dominate you.
did he bench you in the Neverland Ranch gym? I mean, like,
he's
what
jammed
is
over you. He was like, jammed.
I mean, Kevin, this is not going to go away.
It doesn't have to go away. That's my opinion, which I believe I'm entitled to.
When you're face down, with your face a pillow, I guess you weren't feeling very manly yourself, biting a fucking pillow.
He was manly. He's like, Michael told him, this is what men do in jail.
Do you understand?
And Kevin's like, yeah, this is manly.
Do you understand
this
my
sounds
point?
Bad,
no.
Bro.
I swear I don't understand. I'm not even trying to be funny. I don't understand.
He had
it
a
at
really
all.
Firm handshake.
Oh, my God.
And a smack on the
he
back.
Gave you a,
I was like, Jesus
he gave
Christ.
You a Baltimore handshake? That's sick.
He had a firm handshake and he gave you a pat on the back. I'm like,
Dylan,
he was strong.
A pat on your
Dylan, were you around for Adrian Peterson's handshake?
No.
I don't want to say he rivaled Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson almost broke my entire hand with a handshake.
You know what I wanted to say to Adrian Peterson? I wanted to tell him to dial it back.
Okay. What did you want to tell Michael?
I wanted to say to Adrian Peterson, dude, I get it. You have a strong handshake, but come on.
I felt
his
the same
hand,
way.
Right? Doug, yeah. Am I wrong?
No, he...
It's like he's going out of his way
to
assert his
hand.
Dominance. Right. I didn't think he killed my hand. Yeah. I was like...
But so how did Michael assert his dominance over you? That's my question. Like,
I'm not saying Michael asserted his dominance. I said...
Well, he grabbed him by the back of the hair, pushed him down.
He's like, Kevin,
held him down.
Listen, little redhead, you're sleeping with me and Bubbles tonight. We'll figure out the rest tomorrow.
By the way, I did meet Bubbles.
Yeah?
I played with Bubbles.
Ew. You're sick, dude. I played with Bubbles.
Bubbles is also very strong. Bubbles will rip your fucking head right off your shoulder.
Oh, he would.
You think Michael's as strong as Bubbles?
No,
is Bubbles a chimp or a monkey?
Because
chimp
empire. It's a chimpanzee.
Did you watch Chimp Empire?
But that's
like
known
I
as
told
a,
you?
A chimpanzee when Michael Jackson. Was.
Did you watch Chimp Empire like I said to you?
No, I didn't.
You should.
Didn't,
you would enjoy it.
I do know they're strong, and Bubbles was male, right?
Bubbles, I believe so.
So
I
when he grew into a full-grown male chimp,
this is
he
not
would,
the Bubbles.
He would
from,
kill everyone in this.
I don't think Bubbles is a chimp. I think he was a monkey.
No,
this is not the Bubbles from the Barbara Walters special. This is a manly Bubbles. This is a more mature version of Bubbles. Bubbles was the real deal.
Bubbles will rip your balls off.
Bubbles
they
love, will chew.
They go right for the nuts and
chew your eyeballs.
Right
chew your eyeballs and your nose off.
Yeah, chimpanzees.
But the carnival and we went on bumper carts. Well, what are they called? Bumper carts.
Did you do the? Did you do the? What
we did the Ferris wheel
together, yeah, you and Michael.
Oh my god! And all of a sudden, it got stuck at the top.
by the way, it was like the Notebook
Connelly
scene.
And Michael Jackson.
Fucking Michael Jackson climbs up the Ferris wheel like Gosling in the Notebook to get near Connelly.
Yeah, I mean, and then we ate dinner in a teepee.
A teepee.
he was probably teepee. Pitching a teepee. I'm so immature.
Were you with anyone else?
Oh, yeah, there was a
Are
bunch
you
of
okay?
us.
I hope
I'm
your
okay.
parents were around.
My dad was dead. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sorry to bring that up.
Thanks for dragging my dad into this. Rest of soul guy died 30 years ago.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't very well.
I'm actually trying to, what year was this?
98.
Okay, so I don't know you yet, because there was a time when I met you, and I think like there was a day you came back and everything was different, which sometimes they say is from an assault.
No,
so
that's not it.
You
I
didn't sleep
hair.
Over, did you?
I did.
Oh my goodness!
But I was with all my. We were all there together. I wasn't in Michael's guest. We were all there. It was a bunch of us. It was a group.
You
of
all slept together.
No, I'm saying it is the Neverland Ranch. Okay, there are multiple sleeping.
Have you
quarters.
Seen this doc?
Yes.
I mean, yes. Did you not go, wow, we made it out alive? I mean,
I just at the time was
did you make it out alive?
Full of piss and vinegar. I wasn't worried about anybody making a move on me, put it that way.
Well, yeah.
And like I said, he was masculine and manly. Now,
could
I'm not,
you take him down?
Saying,
I mean, would
I'm
you not,
not
beat his ass if he came
I,
into a room
I,
in the
I don't,
moment?
I don't think that I don't know.
You,
what?
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine Michael Jackson beat the shit out of Connelly? That would have been amazing.
I don't know, man. Maybe the handshake and the pat on the back was like him sending a message or whatever it was. And listen,
Tito was the tough Jackson.
What is he, about 5'10"? Or?
He just was he was bigger than I had expected.
Yeah, well,
that's
he's bigger than you.
You're a little dude.
And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. We all know how important mental health is and how important it is to take care of your mind. I mean, you only get one, right? Let's say you only had one car for your entire life. How well would you take care of that car? I mean, it's important to invest the time and care into keeping both your brain and your mind healthy. And there's plenty of ways to do it, and it's different for everybody. For me personally, I'm a big napper. Anybody that knows me will tell you, ask Zulai. I love my naps. It's just a way of closing my eyes, just shutting everything down. Even if I go to sleep or I don't, I like to close my eyes for 20 minutes. But all help is good help. So you can also go to BetterHelp Online Therapy. Well, a lot of people will say to me, listen, I'd love to do therapy, but it's so expensive, etc., etc. That's the best thing about BetterHelp Online Therapy. It's way more affordable. I mean, you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours at a very reasonable price. You can do it on video, phone. You can even do a live chat therapy session. You don't have to see anyone. You can turn the camera off if you want. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/victory. That's Better, H-E-L-P. .com/victory. I didn't get any of those vibes. I saw the movie. Of course it's disturbing. I didn't see any of that.
Did the rest of your crew, you're driving home from the Neverland Ranch, were you all like, wow, he's a fucking manly guy?
No,
like,
there was actually a long moment of silence. We got in the car.
This reminds me of that joke, like, if you woke up, if you were camping and you woke up and Can we cut this out?
Your ass is bleeding. Would you tell anybody? No.
Want to go camping?
you never heard that joke, Doug? Yeah. If you were camping with a buddy, we could maybe cut this one out. That's fine. By the way, it's not the worst.
Cut it out. But I honestly, there might be on the Kevco podcast. Maybe we deep dive what actually went on at the Michael Jackson Neverland.
It wasn't even really.
We'll bring a shrink in. I guess he might be blocking it up mentally.
It's like Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting. It's not my fault.
It was strangely normal. Aside from the fact that it was weird that he had an amusement park. But other than that.
There must have been younger kids than you around then.
No. That was it. But it was, he was strong and manly. That's it.
strong and manly. Huh. Jeez. Guy weighs like 112 pounds.
Oh, no, he does not. Really? Or no, well, he doesn't. Maybe he weighs that now.
How do you know his weight? Dead. Was he on top of you?
All right.
I think you can go on for this.
You're leaving openings, man.
This will come back.
Openings. Ew, left ew.
Listen, subscribe,
he left a lot of openings.
Subscribe to the Action Park Media YouTube channel.
Are we done?
I mean, you want to keep going? Let me just get the stuff.
It's too much fun. Subscribe to the Michael Jackson thing.
Action Park Media YouTube channel. Doug is releasing 5 people from Instagram jail. Victory Jail. Doug,
you're all free to call me a dirty Jew again because Conley says so.
They did not say that. That's true.
I've had it.
If we get through there and there was a racial slur that got you blocked, you will remain blocked. I'm glad you talked about that.
Doug, but Free Murphy, he didn't make any racial things.
Free Murphy. Doug, any other comments you got over there before we wrap this up?
I'm just thinking, what else did we miss?
I don't know.
We got it all.
It's hard to get past that manly thing.
You see me dreaming about Michael Jackson all night long. No, listen, look, we've talked a lot about this episode. To me, it was the pinnacle of production. Being the best that there is.
It's hard to, you know, our job was easy. It's got to be top five.
Our job was easy.
Top five episodes of all time.
What they were able to
pull off. We should all put together our top five. And
well, I want to say one thing about this scene, though. And Mylod, who, forgetting when Mylod comes on, but he was, I mean, he's so good. Succession, Shameless. He did The Menu, the movie.
Has he not been on Victory yet?
He came in pretty strong season three.
Season three. So,
yeah. Well, we got to get him on here.
You know, like, this is crazy, the only directors that I was like, and still, and this is not because they didn't do a great job, but I'm just a nervous wreck. So when I wasn't on set, I would be like horrified that something's not going to, whatever. And it always worked out. But this was a special moment because I felt
terrible. Because you didn't know. So you saw it. You were like, what the fuck?
I felt terrible that I didn't go. But I just thought I was going to drop dead if I did because we were still writing scripts and whatever. And when Mark showed, this is the season finale,
you know what, right?
We had to, Doug, that's a great side note. We had to jump ahead and shoot that episode because of the timing of Cannes.
Oh.
So Doug was probably still writing episode 11.
Yeah. Forgot
but when
about
I
that.
Got Good the call. Footage, cool. which was like when we got the U2 footage, because when Bono said happy birthday, Johnny Drama in Spanish, the lights were fading and we didn't see it till Monday and it was magical. When I saw the footage, the dailies of this fucking trip.
Was it just dailies or did they put something together for you?
I'm pretty sure I saw dailies right away. Mark wanted me to see them and like the opening shot on the boat.
I forgot about that.
You know what's awesome?
Was that a Ken? That was a Ken.
Yeah, of course that was a Ken. And
well,
that,
when we just watched it right now, I was like, wait, is this the movie? It felt like the movie.
It felt like the start of the opening.
It did feel like the start of the movie. But when I first saw it, I was just like, God damn, this is amazing. It just, everything that was on the page feels 1,000 times better and richer. And, you know, it just, you guys nailed it too. And I can't imagine like getting on that red carpet with one take with 6 people all feeling the pressure. Don't fuck it up for everybody else.
It was crazy.
And I don't know what we would have done if we didn't get it. There was no backup plan.
We would have had to do something crazy.
You know, probably shoot some weird cutaways or something.
Well, you know what? I was just thinking the whole time, you know what? We could have done it in cutaways. We didn't need to do it all in one.
If we got in trouble,
there's so many cameras. There's cutaways all over the place.
We would have gotten in trouble, that's what we would have done.
But you know what? That one shot, and you know, part of it also, you see the video feed, which is the Cannes actual feed when people walk up there. So we cut into that when you see the guys up at the top of the stairs. But it makes it feel so real and so cool. And, you know, like we talked about before on this podcast, when we look back at this stuff, and I have not watched that episode in years.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, not a second of it. It just feels like a real thing about some movie star who's got a movie at Cannes. It just really does. And it's Pretty great. And well, you, have you guys been to Cannes for the festival at all?
I was there last year.
Yeah, and Kev,
I'm Buddy to Games One, Monte Carlo
for Buddy Games Two yeah.
next week.
For Kev, Buddy Games,
there's a film festival there as well. Yeah,
Buddy Games in a film festival.
Buddy Games.
This is the last case I'm going to try to make for Cannes being easier. Okay, the travel obviously was a bummer, but how about that opening scene? I just thought about it when you mentioned it. That opening scene when we're on the boat, we're not wearing microphones. It was like, hey, actors, your buddies,
yeah,
me, Dylan, Jerry, Adrian, Piven. Just be in the boat and be hanging out on the boat, right? We had no, it was, we were cruising around in the fucking south of France on a boat. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah, the travel was a bummer. I thought Sundance had some tougher things. That's just my opinion.
So what do you think was tougher,
though?
It was
amazing. We're hanging out on this beautiful cigarette boat.
It was cool,
around.
No doubt.
What was tougher? Sundance, night scenes, or late nights at the Neverland Ranch? What was harder for you?
Being with a manly man.
I don't know why I'm obsessed with...
I would have a lot of backup because Michael would whip your ass.
Maybe you're his pillow biter.
But by the way, you know what the great thing is, Kev? Dylan?
What's that?
He's high, which is great.
Is he?
Yeah, but
I don't know.
Trust me.
I've seen him high. No,
trust me.
Right here.
He's high as fuck. And it's not just because I saw him walk out to the courtyard. It's because his personality, all his defensiveness, where you try to bust his balls a little bit, and he might just like, you know, except for if you're Michael Jackson, he might fight you.
Yeah.
He laughs now, and he's like a normal guy.
He gave in like he did to Michael that night. He just let it.
Just resigned myself.
You just went numb and just closed your eyes.
He's just too strong for me. I don't know what I can do. I mean, it's like Mike Tyson coming at me.
He probably fought it for the first 30 seconds and then just went numb.
Connor was like, you know what, Mike? I think you could take Mike Tyson. You know, you're that manly. I mean, what are you talking about?
I am comfortable enough to discuss it. Hey. I thought he had a good handshake. And I thought he was pretty strong. Handshake. And I got a masculine vibe from him.
Oh, man. Hey, by the way, I did the Adam Carolla podcast. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get him on here.
Yeah.
Can I get him on here?
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you hang out with August? Mike August? Did he drive you there?
No.
That's his producer. Remember Mike August who almost killed us in Phoenix?
Yeah, I remember Mike. Yeah, he wasn't there, though.
Dylan did not want him driving. Oh, we got to talk. We'll talk
about
it.
Well, it was Charlie who was really like...
But Dylan, you were vocal. Dylan's like, "Hey, bro, don't change lanes and text at the same time."
Yeah, I was like, "Hey, dude, don't be ashamed to look at the road while you're driving."
That's a question. Don't be afraid to keep your eyes on the road.
Yeah,
that's a question people are asking. Kevin Connolly, are you going to release the Phoenix sound of the victory? The podcast
we could
live?
Do it. Here's the thing: when you isolate the audio for us, it makes it sound like people aren't laughing because we had to split the tracks. Does that sound too techie?
No, I get it, but so what? Just
that's what I'm saying. And then people are laughing. And do you want us to cut out the Ramble On part, Ramble On trailer? But, or we can just play the Raw where we don't, where it's just
I
everything
raw,
sounds the same.
Right?
You like it Raw.
You liked it that night.
I think we should cut the trailer.
Cut the trailer and just air it. Yeah, sure. Why not?
I mean, it was good what I listened to. They're laughing us. I mean, our
add a little laugh track to it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There is a laugh track, but, you know, it's a good one. Well, it's a good question. By the way, I like this thing about people asking us questions about the episode. And, lastly, anybody else that wants to be released, their friend needs to be released from Victory Jail.
Released? There he goes again.
Put it in the comments.
Ranch. Boy, you gave a little release that night, didn't you, Carl?
Tell us who needs to be released in the comments.
We can really beat something.
Dylan, this is why Buddy Games is right up your alley.
I'm so immature.
Just potty humor. Released. And pillow biter. Do you call me a pillow biter? I'm pretty sure you call me a pillow biter.
There's no way Kyle laughs at that if he's not high.
Oh, man.
He's laughs at
wild.
What?
If he calls you a pillow biter when you had two Johnny Walkers, you're fucking on the ground.
God. I mean,
he also punched you. He also punched you like three times today. You did nothing.
I'm pretty numb in general.
You're just feeling my manliness.
Pretty numb.
He's numb. You didn't even talk about that. I know we're almost done, but people like it when we go over. You had your daughter's birthday party. You had a drunken character.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Bluey, Kennedy turned two. We had a character, Bluey, come over. Dude, and Bluey, wow. Bluey.
Bluey, you know, Bluey. Little boy Blue.
Yeah, Mikey, Bluey, Kevin.
He needed money.
Bluey is a Disney character, you sickos. And Bluey just had probably the worst showing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I saw the pictures. I mean, it was looked crazy. Like he was in the mud.
He had dirty feet. He fell, and then he was kind of standing there and just like out of. He looked dizzy.
You shut up, drunk.
Was it Blades of Glory where Will Ferrell was one of those characters in an ice show and throwing up inside the costume? Am I wrong? I
think Kevin, it is so obvious that this person was drunk that it's not even, it's too obvious. There's no way that alcohol was involved, but she's like walking away with like the boots were off and it was dirty. So I wrote an email. I said, I just write an email. I'm just curious. Was it the first time in the Bluey costume? Did the original Bluey cancel? How was this performance so bad? And Zulai calls back. She's like, they gave us a 15% discount.
How much is Bluey?
Bluey wasn't cheap. That's
500, 1,000.
And here's the other thing. It's an hour.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, bro. You got to be in character for an hour. You don't have to say anything. All you got to do is stand there and like wave your arms and pretend like you're excited to see the kids. At one point, Kennedy said, hey, Papa, put Bluey on the TV. I said, Bluey's in the backyard.
Real Bluey.
Bluey is in the backyard. If you want to watch Bluey on TV, Bluey's in the backyard. That's how underwhelming this character was.
Put Bluey on.
But Mickey came in for the first birthday party and Mickey was like...
Mickey Mouse was
like Cagney. Mickey Mouse dancing around. Mickey Mouse put on a clinic, and Bluey just came in and completely shit the bed. It's sad. And I'll show you some videos.
What's the purple dinosaur?
Ew.
Barney.
Barney. You should have gone with Barney.
Barney. He's been gone for 40 years. I don't even know. Is he still on?
Barney's out of print, dude.
My kids are Barney's out Barney. Of print.
I don't know if Barney's even around. I don't know Bluey yet. I guess I'm going to know soon.
Oh, you're going to know Bluey.
I can't believe So Kennedy's only two.
Yeah, she's
like, put
two.
Bluey on. Because I'm like, my daughter's 6 months. She might have said dad out the other day. Did you see that, by the way?
I did see that.
Yeah, she might have said that. But
Zulai and I were under a lot of pressure leading up to the party, so we were not really getting along during the week. So
what,
there was
what
a lot
pressure?
Of Kevins and a lot of Zulais, a lot of first names. Yeah. So when Bluey showed up, Kennedy turned around and goes, Kevin, Bluey's here. Call me Kevin. Kevin, Bluey's here.
That's funny.
Yeah. So Bluey.
So when you're getting Kevin and it's you're not getting honey, it's like Kevin.
Babe, Poppy, honey, everything. Yeah, yeah. But like went a bunch of Kevins to where Kennedy started calling me. Look, Dylan's ready to act it out.
Oh, I know. I've been there.
You've had your fish.
I've been called Kevin. Oh, yeah.
I bet you have. All right. Thank you very much. Season 4, episode 12. Thank you very
Buddy much. Games 2. Watch it or I'm going to be pissed.
Buddy Games 2.
Buddy Games 2. The Spring Awakening.